This morning we have the privilege of having four of our precious ladies share, and they're going to talk about the kingdom of God and how it relates to their life and where they're at in their life. I'm just waiting a moment as the Sunday school parents make their way back. We'll just take a second. So I'm going to invite our guests to come, have a seat. So let's pray together. Father, thank you for amazing women who love you. I thank you that with a pulpit or without it, ladies have always preached. They have always led. They've always encouraged and strengthened. And I thank you for the ladies in this church who are faithful wives and servants and lovers of God. And I pray, Father, that you would bless our time and bless them and give them freedom, give them joy in sharing. And may we open up our hearts to hear what God has to say. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. So will you give our guests a hand, please? So I'm going to welcome the first one. Introduce
yourself. My name is Lori, and it's wonderful to have you here today. I see we do have quite a few visitors because of the baby dedications, or maybe you're just visiting and enjoy life. But we just would love to welcome you and say it's great to have you on this beautiful summer day, yes. And our theme for today, as we've mentioned ahead of time, has been women and the kingdom. And yeah, I just thought, what can I speak on that would pertain to that? And what came to my mind is just seasons in our kingdom walk. And I would just like to read this because I love summer. I think all of us have been ready for summer. We've had enough winter. And so it touched my heart to think about seasons of life and what God does in those seasons in our kingdom walk with him. And so out of Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verses 11 and 13, I'm reading. For behold, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of singing has come. And the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree ripens its figs, and the vines are in blossom. They give forth fragrance. Arise, my love, my beautiful one, and come away. And as I said, that's Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 11 to 13. What I'd like to start with, I have four short points, and I won't go long because I'm sharing with these lovely ladies here today. But my first point is, enjoy the season you are in. Whether you're single, whether you're working, whether you're a stay-at-home mom, whether you're whatever you are, whatever stage of life you're in, ladies and men, I think this applies to all of us, enjoy the season you are in. Because the kingdom life can either be an adventure or it can be a drag. And a lot of it is our attitude. What kind of attitude am I going to come to my season with? But if we can enjoy that season that we're in, I think we're going to just see so much more fruit in our lives. And part of it is my own mistake. I can look back now a little bit. I've walked a bit of the road. And I think many times I was wishing for the next season. When you're not married, you're wishing, oh, if I could just be married, and then you're married for a while. Well, if I could just, you know, if we just the kids, and then your kids, and then they're all driving you crazy, and it's like, no, if they were just a little bit older, and there's always another season that you can wish your life away on. And I think for myself, looking back, I wish I would have enjoyed each season that I'm in. And I know a lot of the ladies with young children probably hear this a lot, and it's like, but I want to pull out my hair. And I would just encourage you that spending time in prayer and communion with Jesus can put you in the right place for the right season that you are in. And God will carry us through those seasons. And then there are, for my second point, the hang in there seasons or the persevere seasons. And that's what we have to do. There are some seasons that are very, very hard. And you may today feel like, well, I'm in a quiet season. I feel like I'm in a season in this kingdom walk that's not pleasant. It's hard. I don't have a job right now. I'm not in the position I want to be in financially. I'm not in the position I want to be in my life. And I experienced this as well many times. Leonard traveled a lot in Tanzania, and he would be gone a lot of the time. And I'm like, I hate this season. He's gone all the time. There was one stretch over 4 months we calculated. He was home for 11 days. And now I look back and think, well, we were just dumb to plan that. But it's just like, why did we plan things like that? That wasn't smart. But in that season, And I just felt the Lord speaking this to me, is that I felt a kind of like a seed in the dirt, where you're just there, you're sort of, maybe you're germinating, you don't feel like you are. But there are seasons where God sort of plants us, and he's working in us, he's doing good things, but it doesn't feel pleasant at the time. It's actually very unpleasant. It feels like I'm out of any limelight, as if there ever was any, but I'm just here planted in this dirt. And I just want to encourage you, if you're in a planted season, you feel like God doesn't see you or doesn't know you. He does. And I just want to refer to this verse, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. And that's that second hard season, if we do not give up. That's in Galatians 6:9. So if you are there today, you feel like, well, I'm totally buried in dirt today. I don't even know if God sees me. He does see you. And if we do not give up, we are going to reap a harvest. Another thing I've learned in the course of my life is that we need to surround ourselves with community or with a church family. And this to me has really been something that I'm personally passionate about, because no matter what season you are in, to not have that community, to not have that church family, it just makes it 10 times, I don't know, 100 times harder. You're carrying stuff alone that's really hard to carry when you're in a season of just not having a community. But I just want to encourage you that it's not only in the hard times, because I think we're actually quite good at, when there's hard times, running and looking for community, running and looking for the church, suddenly praying a whole lot more. God, my life is a mess. Things aren't going how I want them to go. I need your help. We somehow are actually good at finding community at those times. But it's in the good times, when things are actually really great, that we sometimes drop community. We're like, I'm doing okay. Me and Jesus, we're okay over here. I'm having a great time in my life. Kind of, what do I need community for? I'm okay with me and Jesus. But I just want to encourage you that it's in all seasons that we need community. In this kingdom walk, we grow. It's iron sharpening iron. And we will be stronger when we are in community. And don't take it for granted. Don't just assume it's there. Make it happen. You have to invite people into your life. You have to invite people to be your friend, to be in community with you. It doesn't just happen. So surround yourself with a church family. And my last point is, plan to bear fruit in every season. And what we want is longevity in service and in joy and in the ministry that God gives us. Like, we've all been through times where it's a flash in the pan, or we've seen friends that are just on the mountaintop, and next thing you're like, where are they? Like, they're not even in church. Are they following Jesus? What are they doing? They were doing so great. But what I want to encourage you with is longevity in your life. And through that, we have to plan to bear fruit. And I'm thankful to Penny, who I met this week, for this example. We had a little coffee. And she said, you can't go to the gym, or you can't send someone to the gym for you to get strong. Your friend cannot go to the gym and you build the muscles. Like, I'll even pay you money. I'll pay you money to go to the gym for me. And in a way, it was a great example, knowing what I was speaking about, because you cannot expect the pastor or a leader or your life group leader or someone to muscle up and to use their gifts, and somehow you're going to get strong sitting in the congregation doing nothing. It doesn't work like that. Each one of us has to go to the gym. We have to exercise our muscles. We have to stand up. I love women like Marianne that has just stretched her muscles and said, I'm going to stand up and lead the 50-plus club. Nobody asked her to do that. Nobody coerced her to do that. But she decided, I'm going to the gym, and I'm going to exercise my spiritual muscles, and I'm going to do that by loving people. And I just want to encourage all of us that somebody can't go to the gym for you. Nobody can come into this church and just by osmosis get strong. It's by exercising our gifts, using the talents, planning to bear fruit, that we grow our spiritual muscles. And I just want to end with this psalm from Psalm 1, verse 3. He, or she, I'll say today, is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. Let's not lose heart halfway up the mountain. Amen. God bless you.
Hi, everyone. I thought I won't even have to introduce myself because it will just be having coffee with friends because I know everyone. But it's like rent a crowd day. I'm like, I don't know half the people here. So since it's rent a crowd, my name's Yulani. I'm married to my husband, Herman, and we are on the eldership team here. I want to start off with a story. Helene just recently accepted, Helene's my daughter, she's five. She just accepted Jesus into her heart, so we're very excited for that, and it was a very special moment in our family. And since that time, she's been asking me every day, driving me nuts. You know, five-year-olds, they ask all the questions. I don't know, mine does. So she comes up to me super excited, like, okay, mommy, so if you can tell me, do you love Jesus more or me? I'm like, trick question. Okay, I know the answer, but I don't know how she's going to take it. So I'm like, Jesus. She's like, okay. She goes away, comes back the next day. Then she's, okay, mommy, do you love Jesus or daddy more? I'm like, Jesus. Okay, okay. Then she goes away, comes back the next day. Okay, how about daddy and me? I'm like, daddy. And then it's like it carries on. She pretty much mentioned everyone in the church names. So if you also want to find out like where you rank in my friend department, you'll have to go ask Elaine. But she pretty quickly figured it out that for me, Jesus is at the top. Then it's my husband, Herman. Then it's my two little kids, David and Elaine, equally. She tried many times to catch me out. And then it's, well, the rest is the rest. We won't go into that. And it's just for her to figure that out. I think sometimes we just need a reminder. That is the ranking, guys. This is the game we want to play. We don't want to put our kids at the top and everything is about them. And we just kind of push Jesus to the side because he just doesn't fit into the little thing that we have going here. And you can't make everything about your husband, so you get the gist of it. So today I'm going to talk about the relationships we have in those different departments. So right at the top, we start with Jesus, with God. And while we were worshiping, I was just praying and saying, okay, Jesus, if they remember one thing, just one thing, give me one good thing. And he was like, if you just tell them, I love them. So Jesus loves you. If you forget everything that I say, just remember that God loves you and he is longing from the deepest point of his heart to know you and to have a relationship with you. So, have your identity in Christ. He is our first love. He is the one that makes our world go around. If we are solid with Jesus, the rest doesn't even matter. John 4:13, this is where Jesus is at the well talking to the Samaritan woman. Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And I just love that. Isn't that so beautiful that we can get that water from God and that everything can flow from that, that we will have a spring of living water. We had, I see Jordan here. We're having, no, I shouldn't go down that road. Never mind. Just scrap that. I'm trying to stay in my box, but I like to move. So, but I'm not allowed to move according to Jordan. Not too much. Okay, then I'm going to sneak in here your relationship with yourself. Herman and I always, he will tell me, so Yulani, what makes you happy? Like if you go to bed today and you feel like you had a good day, what does that day look like? So I'm a pretty easy girl to get happy. I just want to sweat a little bit, get that heart rate up. I worked out with Marianne on Friday in the pool. It was awesome. And I have to drink hot coffee. I'm like you moms that always complain about I'm drinking cold tea, cold coffee, cold food. I'm like, no time for that, girl. Nobody got time for cold coffee. So I make sure the children are fed, everyone is well, and then I have my hot coffee and they don't bug me while I drink my coffee. And having like a coffee with a friend, going out on a date with Herman. So look at yourself and think, what makes me happy, and do those things. It doesn't have to be complicated. It's very simple. And then emotionally, I love what Carl shared 2 weeks ago about valuing yourself. If you don't value yourself, how can you value other people and share the gospel with them? And then I just want to read Philippians 1:20. I eagerly expect that and hope that I will not in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by death or by life. Then our next relationship is with our spouse and our kids. And if you're single or if you're parenting alone, I encourage you to enjoy that season and make the most of it. Sometimes it is a very tough season, and you're praying and longing for that spouse, or you're sad because you have to raise your kids alone, or you're sad because you don't have kids. I just want to encourage you to seek God in those times and show Him what you can use your time with. You have time in different ways that I have time at the moment with. And then on to the one topic. When Leonard asked me to share, I was like, I can share as long as I'm allowed to talk about sex from the pulpit. And he said, it's okay. So here we go. Harman always says that men never talk about sex and salaries with their friends because they're scared the other guy's getting more than they are. But us women, we're a different breed. We don't mind. We talk all the time about all the things. And I was at a girls' night maybe 4 or 5 years ago at Bethany's house. And any girl that was here that night will remember it. We literally laughed too much. Anyway, at that night, there was a girl there that said, I actually enjoy having sex, and I love it. And I was like, what? It's kind of a checkbox thing for me. It's like, it's been 4 days. I guess we better have sex now. And I was just so challenged by that. And I know there's stuff that happens in our lives. I was sexually abused when I was younger, a teenager, and made very bad decisions with boys, and then I got married, and it was a checkbox for me. I knew it was good, and I knew, like, God wants this for my marriage, but there wasn't this amazing joy. It's like, yay! It was just, okay, we did it. So I just want to challenge you. If you are there, I want to challenge you. That is not how God intended it. He wants us to have glorious, great sex. And if you're not having it, you got to get some. If you're married, side note, married. So, yeah, I just, like, let's get past the crazy things. Talk about it. Don't be ashamed. Talk to your husband. I like when you do that, honey. Pleasure each other. Why are we making it so weird? Like, I don't know. If you're struggling in this area, I would encourage you, talk to someone, share it, talk to your husband. It doesn't need to be weird and awkward. Seriously, it will be great for your marriage. Okay, so our next relationship is our kids. And I love Leonard's line. He's always saying, how's that working for you? And I think with my parenting, it's the line I always go back to. If things kind of get out of hand, I'm like, this is not working for me. So then got to rein the kids back in, set down the boundaries. Here is the line. Don't cross the line. And then they want to be on the line just like that. So just look at your family. Is this working for you? Do you enjoy having dinner with your family? If you're not, maybe you should put some procedures in place. If you can't have fun with them, maybe you should look into a few fun things. Find out what both of you like and do fun things together. And then lastly is our relationship with our community. Laurie touched on that, so I won't talk too much about that. But same points as her is you have to have that community and have a friend for the good times and the bad times. You got to have it both. And I love having many friends. I'm very outgoing. I can look at my calendar and see, I'm not having any friends this week. I can phone 5 girlfriends. We can get a coffee quickly. But not all of us are extroverts and crazy like me. So if you're an introvert, find another introverted friend. Talk about it. How are we going to make more friends? Come talk to me. I'm always up for coffee. So yeah, let's enjoy the good things together. And I want to challenge you too, if you want to be a good friend, have good friendships, you have to be raw. You have to show some of your heart. If you just live a very guided life and you don't want anyone to come in, you're not going to make good friendships. It's not going to be real and not going to be sustainable. And on that note, I want to read Proverbs 27:9 from the Message. Just as lotions and fragrance give us sensual delight, a sweet friendship refreshes the soul. And I love that I have lots of friends that can refresh my soul. And then I'll end with this. In another thing, if you forget anything, you can remember this. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight." And I think if we can live by that, we're going to live a pretty good life. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Hey, everybody. My name's Toby. I'm sure you know me. If you don't, my name's Toby. My husband, Ilaria, and I have a son, Theo. And as Lori was sharing, I realized that a lot of my message is clouded with my season. So if you're not in my season, well, just take what you can. But if you are a mom, then this will apply to you. When Leonard asked me to speak, I texted him back. Well, Pastor Leonard, sorry. I texted him back and I was like, I think you have the wrong number. And he's like, strong women in the kingdom. And he's like, no, this is the right number. So I got excited. I was like, okay. And then I started thinking about what I was going to share. I was like, well, I know a lot of strong women, so I will just make a list of the things I like in them and then share that. And the Lord was saying, no, I want you to share what's going on in your life right now. So I was like, okay. There's just one lesson that I'm battling with, that I've been battling with for 20 years. And the Lord's been trying to share me in different seasons, but in this season, it's caught up with me. So, pregnancy, out of breath, excuse me. You know, the Lord was nudging me to share on the fact that our strength is found in him, in total dependence on the Lord. Now, that statement is like, of course, we hear that all the time in church. Depend on the Lord, like Ilani just shared, trust in the Lord with all your heart. But total dependence, I just want you to think about it, just total dependence. I'll share a little bit more, you'll understand why it's so mind-blowing to me. So a bit about the background of the Toby you see today. My mom would always tell me that when I was a child, I used to play by myself in the corner. I would play with my dolls. I would play with plants. I would teach my teddies. I just like to do things in a very organized, be by yourself kind of way. And I grew up like that. So I just always felt like, you know, things had to make sense. 1 + 1 always had to equal 2. So I went to university this way. I was always like, if you don't study, you're not going to pass. If you don't pass, don't be sad. You know, if I wrote a test and I was like, oh, I didn't study for that one, I'll study for the next one. And so in our relationship with God, I realized that it's not the same way. The Lord... The Lord gives favor. He gives grace. So it's like, okay, I didn't study for this test, but now I passed. I had a few of those happen to me in university. When I graduated, my friends were like, oh, I didn't know you were smart. I'm like, I'm actually not. I feel like my university career was rigged because the Lord would just be like, oh, you know, just study this, and that's all the test would be on. And I'm like, this is not fair. But like, that's how it was for me. And I graduated. I did really well. And it's part of the Lord trying to teach me. He's like, there's another way to live. If you would just ask me, I'll show you how to depend on me and life will be easier for you. Still didn't get it. So I got married, and of course, I'm making my checklists. I'm like, okay, I'm married. I'm going to be a wife and a mom. Proverbs 31, she gets up, she has her candles, she's doing all these things. Check, check, check. Everything is going really great. And then we had our son, Theo. I was like, okay, this is a little hard, but I can do it. And then we got pregnant with this one. And so there's always, you know, the Lord is teaching me that when you go into a season of life where you're overwhelmed, it's a blessing. Because then you can rely on God and you can do more than you could ever do on your own. It's so funny. But so we got pregnant with this baby. And for the first time, I was like, wow, I am falling apart. And not in a bad way, just in a way I realized that all my boxes weren't aligned the way I like them to be, you know? And just, you know, coming to that place of, God, what's going on? And God said, finally, I have your attention. You're not always going to be able to, you know, have everything lined up, have your life the way you want it to be. Because God said, you have one job. So he sent me back to Matthew 6:33 that says, seek first the kingdom of God. So it doesn't say, if you're single and you have time, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Or if you're married and maybe your kids are older, seek ye first the kingdom of God. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything will be added unto you. And I was like, okay. So my day looks like this. I try and get up before Theo. He mostly gets up before me. We struggle to get dressed together. I'm like, what are we going to have for breakfast? Like, I didn't know breakfast was coming. And then we have breakfast. We try and get out the house. He's screaming by this time. He's impatient. I'm like, oh, maybe I'll go to Yolani's house. I'm like, I'm coming over. And then we just have a date, and I come back home. Theo has a nap. I'm exhausted. I wake up. He wakes up. I make dinner. I clean. It's 10 o'clock. I'm done. I'm sleeping. So I'm like, God, either you want me to be a mom and a wife, or you want me to seek first the kingdom. Both of those didn't make any sense to me together. And I was just like, how? You know, when the Lord says, love him with all your heart, I was like, this is impossible. Like, we're all called to an impossible task if you think about it logically in that way versus, you know, how much time we have in a day, how much can we, you know, put God first. Just transitioning from single life or newlywed life to having a new child, I'm thinking, well, I'm not in school anymore. It's not just study, and then now I have free time to just be with the Lord or go to a conference. And the Lord is like, yeah, I know. This has been the truth even before when you had free time. I was trying to tell you, lean on me for grace. Lean on me and let me show you how to live. So I was thinking, okay, well, maybe God didn't mean love the Lord with all your heart, you know, so that my equation can still balance. I can still go through the day as a mom. Maybe love him as much as you can. That's pretty good. Like, as much as you can when you're a mom, as much as you can when you're a grandma. But that's not what the Lord said. He said, I try to rationalize my not being able to give the Lord my whole heart. And, excuse me, this is Matthew 22:34-37. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and all your mind. It's so funny because I thought, well, you see, this isn't talking to Christians, this is Jesus answering a cheeky Pharisee. So I'm like, okay, well, this doesn't apply to me. It's just like something I can learn from and try and pick from. It's funny how we try and rationalize where we are. And then God took me to, thank God for his faithfulness. God took me to John 15, and this is verse 9. As the Father loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and I remain in his love. I told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I have learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you, so that you can go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so whatever you ask in my name, sorry, my verse cut off. I took a screenshot, but I think it's whatever you ask in my name, it will be given you. Something like that. So I was like, this is kind of saying the same thing. As Jesus is not just telling that Pharisee that, oh, you should love me, just to make him stunned. This is something that we are required to do as Christians. I mean, we know that, but just thinking about all my heart. I was like, God, this is impossible. And God said, being a mom is impossible. Being a dad is impossible. If you thought about fatherhood and the craziness that that is, it's impossible. Being anything in life is impossible without the grace of God. If we want to keep that order, like Yulani said, we have God, then we have our husbands, then we have our kids. If we want to keep that order, we can only do it by the grace of God. So he started showing me that, okay, you know what? You can either try and be a great, perfect mom and wife and realize that your relationship with me is lacking, or you can seek me first, and I'll show you how. So now our day looks like waking up and being like, okay, God, today is impossible, I already know. But like, I just need time with you. I need somehow that you'll just, that can keep my relationship with you first and still feed Theo and still have everything, you know, stay in their place. And I realized that it's not just about, oh, me making time in the morning to have my devotion and then in the afternoon. You know, it's like, God, can you open your word to me today so that I can understand? And sometimes it's during his nap. This past Friday, I wasn't tired at nap time. I'm like, this is a miracle. And so then I had like a few minutes to read and, you know, spend time with my Heavenly Father, because I dared to ask him in the morning for him to give me the life and the light, the daily bread that I needed that day. And he brought it to me in his time, and we fellowshipped, and the day went on. It's so different from me being like, well, I don't have time to have my devotions right now. Theo's awake. You know, I have to do this, do that, do that. But it's just, I came to the realization that I just couldn't live life in that God, husband, kids, family, friends order without the help from the Holy Spirit. So that's what I have to encourage us with this morning, is that the life that God calls you to do, if you really want to love the Lord with your whole heart and total dependence, it's actually, if you think about whole heart, it's impossible, because we have so much going on. You know, the more time we spend in our business or being, you know, it takes out of us. But if the Holy Spirit is helping us and directing us, that's the only way it's possible. So seek first the kingdom of God, depend on the Holy Spirit, and he'll help us to keep him first in everything. Thank you.
Good morning, all you beautiful people. Thank you for the opportunity to share what's on my heart. I also got the text message and thought, yeah, they're the right person, but God is faithful. I knew that he would give me something to say, because of course it was very general, being a woman in the kingdom, like, okay, great. So God's been teaching me a lot, but I promise I'll keep my time to my 10 minutes, and always welcome having lunch or a coffee date or something. I'm like Yulani, I'm like, yeah, let's go out. Eating out is one of my love languages. It's not one of the five, but it's one of mine. So if you ever want to go out, I'd love to do that. I feel like a kind of a young pup in this marriage and parenting and life thing. Oh, I forgot to say my name. I'm Genevieve. I'm married to my amazing husband, Brad. We've been married eight kids. Lord, no. We've been married 8 years, apparently. Been very long years. We've been married 8 years and we have three kids, three boys. This is why I'm so tired. 6, 4, and 1. I gave my life to Jesus as a teenager, but I didn't really start walking with the Lord till kind of my mid-20s, and really, he's fast-tracked things for me the past year or two as far as gaining wisdom in him, understanding his grace and his favor and his love. So the biggest lesson that I've learned and am learning, which these lovely ladies already shared, is that everything starts with him. And not just knowing mentally, like, everything starts with God, and that should be my number one relationship, but actually living that out in our day, right? Legitimately, he's the number one. I'm reading this book right now on marriage by Francis and Lisa Chan, and in there, Francis says, if we misunderstand the God who made us, and if we fail to relate to him properly, things are bound to go wrong, right? It's like, yeah, God made us. He wants to be in relationship with us, right? If we don't have that kind of quote-unquote right, things are going to go wrong, right? So he's the designer and our Heavenly Father, and he wants us to love him. That's why he did. He gave us the most important command, right? Mark 12:30 says, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And I don't say this for like a guilt thing, right? That we should feel guilty if God's not number one, if we're like, ugh, God's not number one. You know, he doesn't want your relationship out of guilt or out of fear or out of anything else. He wants it because he loves you so much, and he wants you to be walking in his plans and his purposes for you that are good, right? So I'll be the first to admit that I'm not always great. I'm not like, please don't look at me and think, oh, Jen, she must spend her whole day in the Word, you know? She just must be like, oh. Yeah, that's not how it goes all the time, right? That's not real life. But I'm learning to put God into my real life, right? Time with him into my real life. And for a while, it was like, yeah, God can't have an hour of my day, so I guess he gets nothing out of my day, really. And then he gave me the grace and love to show me that's it's not one or the other. It's not this religious thing that we have to spend all these time with him and do all these things perfectly before we can be in relationship with him. It's just like any other relationship, right? That he's always there for us and wants to be there. So I'm learning to make my God time work in and around my life, because I know when I'm more connected to him, life just flows better, right? When I know his word, I make better decisions. I have more peace, I have less worry, and I'm definitely more empowered to train and equip those three, I'm going to call them crazy, no, amazing children that he's blessed me with, right? So if you're feeling stuck or stagnant in your faith, if you're like, yeah, it's not, God's not number one for me, but so what do I do with that? Start somewhere, right? Start with a devotion. If you're a woman, there's Proverbs 31 Ministries has a first five. It's like literally 5 minutes, right? Read a chapter or two in the Word. Spend just like 5 minutes listening to some soaking music and get in your time with God that way, right? Another thing that I've started doing, though, is just praying while I'm driving, while I'm talking to God. Like, I'm driving to school, I'm driving to this activity, I'm driving to that activity. A couple weeks ago, I was thinking about negative things or things that have happened in the past, and God was like, literally, you have to take every thought captive, and you're wasting this time right now. You have driving, thinking about something that you can't control and about negative. Why don't you take this time instead to talk to me about it or pray about it or do something else more productive with your time, right? So we are all busy, but we all have the same 24 hours in a day, and it's up to us what we do with that time. And journal and talk to God when you're stressed out. This is me talking to me. When you're stressed out, instead of zoning out and just, you know, turning on TV, right? Can we just take some time to go to the one who has the answer for us? If you want a closer relationship with God, I would just say spend some time praying and asking him what's holding you back, right? Because I could give you this whole list of, like, priorities or your beliefs or whatever, but he knows, he has the answer, so just spend some time praying and asking him. And the best way that I'm learning to strengthen our marriage, our family, our practice, whatever it is to develop a lifestyle of pursuing God. That, and it really helps to strengthen my family when I'm not sleep-deprived or hangry, but that's just a little side point. I'm learning that the goal of life is not to be happy, it's not to be comfortable, it's really to glorify God, right, to bring glory to him. The amazing thing about God and his grace is that he loves and accepts us where we are. Maybe you've heard that before, but he loves us too much to leave us there, right? His desire is always for us to be going and walking further with him. So he doesn't expect that one day you're saved and the next day you're perfectly sanctified and like the holiest of holies, right? It's a journey that we're all on. His love and his goodness is in us, and he wants us to reflect that to the world. But how can we reflect that to the world if we're not walking with him? Right? We each are designed to reflect a unique aspect of Christ, and he wants to build that in us. So that means that we take time to be with him and to allow him to mold us and shape us. And at Life Group, Gabe was sharing, it's pruning. I was like, yep, that's the word that I like. God is pruning out the bad branches, right, that aren't bearing fruit anymore in our life. So the other thing I wanted to just share on that God luckily showed me a few years ago through this workshop was that all of our heart's desires are meant to be filled in relationship with Jesus. So I'm still learning and trying to remember to not have these filled in the world or in worldly things or in our relationships in the world, but things that we have in our hearts, these deep, deep desires that we all have, this is the way that he built us, is to have desires for love, security, justice, peace, freedom, so on. But they're all meant to be filled in relationship with Jesus. And if you don't have that relationship, this is probably new for you. Like Yulani, I'm like, oh, there's a lot of new people here. But I would encourage you to seek out what that looks like for you. So like I said, I learned this at a workshop, and I remember coming home and sincerely apologizing to my husband because I realized that I had this deep heart desire to be known, like truly, truly known. And I was seeking that from my marriage, actually. Like, I wanted Brad to sit down with me and spend hours looking into deep into my eyes, asking me all about me and what makes me amazing, you know? And it's like, yeah, that's not actually ever going to happen. No. I'm kidding. We have great. It also doesn't help that my love language is quality time. So it's like, poor Brad. But I was lucky enough to learn that the only person who can truly meet that heart's desire to be known is Jesus. And the amazing thing is that he wants to fill that for me every single day, right? And it's really unhealthy for me, actually, for our marriage to put that desire on him, because he can never actually truly fill it. The only one that can fill that desire, other desires of my heart, is Jesus. So what that looks like for me is just having a conversation with Jesus. And this is going to sound really selfish, but understand this is just between me and Jesus. You know, Jesus, what do you love most about me? What do you know about me that nobody else knows? You know, Jesus, what will be celebrated about me in heaven? Right? I love asking Jesus about what heaven's going to look like, right? And so as I say that, it's like, yeah, that sounds really selfish. But this is just between me and Jesus, right? So he wants to fill all those desires in our heart. James 4, 1 and 2 says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire but do not have, so you kill. You covet but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. And that's talking about those desires that battle within us. You know, how many people are searching for acceptance or belonging or to be known or whatever, and they're doing it in the world, right? The Bible says that we're in the world but not of the world, because we can have that relationship and have those desires filled and met in him. So now I'm learning, when I have a really strong emotion about something, I just need to check in with my heart and just say, what is my heart really desiring here in the circumstances? Why am I really irritated or angry or frustrated? How can that desire be met in Jesus, in my relationship with him, instead of worldly relationships or things, right? How many people buy things to fill their desires, right? That's an easy way to see that. The reality is that the world will let us down, and we can't have our heart plugged into the world and plugged into God. It has to be one or the other, and it has to be a choice, right, to plug it into God and say, come and meet this desire, meet this thing that I have for security or love or peace. Like last night as I was trying to go to sleep, Brad's phone is like buzzing because somebody's texting him. And I'm like, Lord, I just want to go to sleep. Why didn't he put his phone on silent? You know? And I'm like angry and irritated. I'm like, okay, God, what do I really want here? Well, I just want peace so I can fall asleep. So Jesus, can you just show me a picture of your perfect peace? So he showed me and him out in this little canoe on the lake, and the like sun is out, and it's beautiful, and it's peaceful. I'm like, oh, okay, thank you, Jesus. Now I can go to sleep, right? So I would encourage you just to keep your heart plugged into Jesus. The last thing I want to share that I'm learning is about my role as a parent. So a few years ago, if you would have asked me what's my role as a Christian mother, as a Christian parent, I would have said to bring them to church. Ideally, it would be great if we put them in Christian school and then pray like crazy one day they make a decision for Christ. That would be it, right? And if you're here and you're like, what else is there? That's what I used to think too. But I'm here to say that there's so much more to parenting. And thank you, God, for your grace that you've shown me this while my kids are still young, so I can put this into practice and know that it's important to teach and train them to operate in God's kingdom, to teach them about their identity, like how many kids have identity crises, and we need our kids to know that their identity comes from Christ. They need to know about God's love. They need to know how to hear his voice. Teaching them a healthy fear of the Lord and the power of God. That God's the only one who can heal, deliver, and rescue them and the world, right? And not just teach them that, you know, don't say, you gotta walk the walk and talk. Not just talk the talk, but walk the walk too, right? Model that life with Christ. Model living for him and with him. So if you were at the ladies thing when I spoke, I talked about this awesome lady I took a parenting course from, Lisa Max, and she said basically her parenting goals boil down to two things. Teach my children how to hear Father God's voice and train them to go to him in all circumstances. And two is to equip them with the tools necessary to deal with hurts, lies, and offenses. So when I read that, it was like, oh, that pretty much sums it up, but that's quite the list, right? But that's my goal now as a parent there for them, right? So the reality is that I'm not always going to be there for my kids, but God will always be there for my kids. And he actually wants to be there, and he's actually a way better parent than I could ever be anyways. So why don't I teach them and train them to go to him in all circumstances? Teach them when things are going good to praise him and give thanks to him. Teach him when they're scared to go to him. Teach them maybe in school if they're being bullied, if somebody offends them, if somebody hurts them. How can I teach them to go to God and hear his voice, hear what he has to say about them? How can I teach them to forgive people, right? And to protect them from those hurts, lies, and offenses. Just an example, a few weeks ago, I was putting Isaiah to bed. I don't do this every night, so don't think, oh, you're the perfect mother. No. But I was calling out some things from his identity. So I was like, you know, God made you such a leader. You're so kind and caring. And I just love who he created you to be. And when I was done, he just shared. He said, Mommy, while you're saying that, I heard something in my head. It said something. Sorry. He said, I heard like you're stupid or something. I'm crying, but I'm also in that moment, I was just so mad at the enemy. I was like, he is 6 years old, and you're already trying to come and steal, kill, and destroy by planting lies in his mind. You know, but that's the truth, right? We serve an amazing God, but he also has an enemy who is trying to come and steal, kill, and destroy. So I was so thankful in that moment that I had taken Lisa's course, and I was like, well, does that sound like something Jesus would say to you, right? I'm not crying. Does that sound like something Jesus would say to you? He was like, no. Like, so if Jesus didn't say it, that must have been from his enemy, right? He's like, yeah. I said, so what do you think? Should we just ask Jesus to just take that thought away? That's not true. He's like, yeah. So we just prayed in the name of Jesus, you know, we tell that thought to go. Yeah. And then we just asked Jesus what he likes most about Isaiah. And right now when we ask Jesus that, usually he says his creativity. So that was just a little moment where it was like, wow, this is bigger than we realize. And before having taken this course, if he said something like that, probably like, oh, I think I'm stupid, you know, I would just say, no, you're not. You know, that's silly, right? But sometimes we have to recognize and be in tune with the Holy Spirit to be like, man, that's not from Jesus. That's not okay. I'm going to stand up for my kids, and I'm going to teach them when they have those thoughts to say no in Jesus' name. So I just wanted by saying that if you are a parent or a grandparent, if you have kids under your influence, please pray. Pray about how you can teach them to hear God's voice. Pray about helping them deal with hurts, lies, and offenses. And let's do it together. It's amazing to be in this community together. None of us have to be raising children alone. Parenting especially is a big responsibility. But the fruit from a family going after God's purposes for them and giving glory to him in everything will be eternal, and it'll be beautiful. Well, thanks.
Amen. When we had businessmen's panel, we allowed for some questions. So I'm going to ask if you have any questions for these ladies. Please, who's first? You can ask any subject. They know all the answers. Is there anyone? As you were listening this morning, you said, man, I'd like to ask something. Yes. Come take the mic because I want it recorded. Okay.
That was amazing. This was amazing.
Good. Yeah. Good question. No, I appreciate it, Brian. So you're not jumping with questions. So I agree with you, Brian. As I was listening, I was just thinking, God's beautiful, wonderful intention when he puts amazing women in the kingdom. And what you guys bring and what you do for the kingdom of God. And it was with a businessman I asked if you're here this morning, and specifically to the ladies, and
you would let us pray for you. I'd just like to encourage you. You know, you maybe you're in a season. Maybe you are in a relationship issue. Maybe you are too busy to seek God. Or maybe you're in that parenting stage where you are trying to speak life into a marriage or into a home or into a situation. Wherever you are, I believe God wants to encourage you and strengthen you. And so I'm going to ask if the ladies who are here, if you would just stand, single, married, old, young, whoever you are, if you just stand and let us pray for you. Thank you. We did this on Mother's Day and we had you all come forward, so I won't make you come forward, but I do believe that there's an anointing on honoring the women in the church, what you stand for. I said it on Mother's Day, and I don't want to repeat myself again and again, but think of, I'm going to go back up here because I want to see your faces. Think of who has the most influence in a home, the time. Think who has the most influence in Sunday school. I bet if we went back there today, I don't know what the percentage is, but mostly women. Thank God for some men as well. Think of the influence in school. Think of the time spent. And I could put up graphs, whether it's little children, teens, wherever people are in their life, the influence of you women in this world. Whether it's in business, whether it's in school, whether it's in family, whether it's in church. And I know God is pleased when we honor you, when we just say thank you. Thank you for being faithful. I can get emotional again. I just keep seeing the picture of Jesus. He sees his mother. My brother and I were talking about it after Mother's Day, and mothers are always there. Mothers are always there. Women are always there. If you want something done, ask a woman. Serious. And I'm not putting anything down about being a man. I'll talk about men another day. But I honor you women. What you mean to God and to his kingdom. And so I'm going to ask a couple of you to pray for these ladies. Is that okay?
Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for every amazing woman that is standing in this building today, God. Every talent, every gift, every prayer that's been whispered from her lips, God, for her family, for her nieces and nephews, for her work colleagues, for her husband. God, every prayer that's been prayed, God, I pray that those prayers would be heard. And we know you do hear and answer prayers. And so, God, your word says that you will give us the desires of our heart. And each of us carry a prayer burden for someone. And I pray, God, in this next week, God, can we just ask that? That in this week, we would see some answers to those prayers for loved ones, for work colleagues that just seem so hard, for a husband whose heart will not turn. God, we pray that those prayers would be answered. And by next Sunday, we can have testimonies, we can have breakthroughs, we can have just testimonies of the goodness of our God, that you are a good God. You see every woman in this place. You see her heart's desire. And God, I pray that we would just hear those answers whispered to us in this week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Oh, Jesus, I just thank you for every lady that is here today, God. And I just pray, Jesus, that you would touch every heart and that you would whisper in their ears and that they would hear it, that you are worthy, my beautiful child. And I pray that every lady here would just feel such a love from you today, God. Thank you that you know exactly the season that they are in and that you are right there with them. You are not far. You are not up in heaven somewhere busy with someone else's business. You are there with them. Thank you, Jesus, that you are amazing. Thank you that you love each woman here today.
And God, I just thank you for your Holy Spirit, and I thank you for the help that you've given us to live this life that you've called us to. I pray for every woman, God, that there'll be no lies of the enemy that, oh, when you go into motherhood, you don't have time for the Lord, or, you know, the busier you get. None of that, Lord. I just pray that each season, grace and peace will be multiplied unto all the women here, Lord Jesus, that they would grow in their knowledge of you. They would grow in their love and in their dependence of you. They would seek your kingdom first. They would drink of your living water and just be flourishing. Palm trees that are planted, God, that provide shade and protection to everyone around them. I just pray that we would grow to be strong women, trusting in your name, Lord God, that you would give wisdom where wisdom is needed. And if anyone's struggling today, God, that your Holy Spirit will come and comfort and guide and direct. In Jesus' name.
Thank you. So, ladies, would you just make a commitment this morning to use your season to allow that sweet disposition that God's put in you as a woman to shine the love of God. First of all, to yourself, to love yourself and let God love you, and then to be that picture of God's love that this world needs. We need you. This church needs you. This world needs you, ladies, who have the love of God and just the presence of God in your lives, the strength of God to love and to just go forward in the kingdom. And just make that commitment. You're not going to listen to the lie of the devil. He's always after the good stuff. And he goes after marriage, and he goes after our identity, and he goes after women. And I just encourage you this week to be the woman of God that you're supposed to be. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I just want to say thank you for coming this morning. Thank you, ladies, for sharing. Amen. It was good. It was good to be in the house of God. Please register for camp. If you haven't registered, please register, and don't forget the men's meeting this Saturday. Please join us for a coffee and a tea, and we're glad that you're here with us this morning. God bless.